This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
House State Affairs will come to order. Secretary, call the roll.
Representative Bartling, excused. Representative Beal?
Here.
DeSanto?
Here.
Haugard?
Here.
Hawley?
Here.
Heineman?
Here.
Lateral?
Here.
Lust?
Here.
Mickelson?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Rosem? Quam? Roden.
Here. Quorum is present. You've received the minutes. We have no minutes, so we have no need to approve the minutes from the previous meeting. We'll start by welcoming everybody to the first meeting of House State Affairs. A few reminders: if you have a cell phone, you might check that, make sure it's an appropriate setting. A few comments before we get started today. Since this is our first meeting, just a few reminders to the committee as far as how we'll run things this second year, so most everybody is aware of how I like to run a meeting. It's pretty typical of any meetings. There are a few differences from some of the other meetings. I tend to be pretty relaxed as far as how we run a meeting. But as we get into more contentious issues, the more contentious the issue, the more anal I will be about formalities. One of the key components, I think, to running a well-organized meeting is making sure that all questions and all testimony and responses be directed through the chair. Tends to take the personalities out of it and just make for a more formal, professional meeting if all comments and questions are directed through the chair. Also, as we move into action specifically on a bill, I will open the committee to comments, discussion, and action. If your intentions are to make a motion, I want that motion made on the front side. And as a matter of course, I will. If somebody makes a motion, I will go immediately to them for the first response and comments on a bill. So, any questions for the chair before we get started today? Seeing none. Yes, if I remember, as a matter of course, in this committee, we like to introduce our pages, have them introduce yourselves and tell us where you're from, where you're headed. I think I've seen you before. Haven't you already introduced you? Oh, wrong committee. Go ahead.
My name is Adam Foreman. I am from Pierce, South Dakota. I'm a junior at T.F. Riggs High School, and I want to major in astrophysics.
Okay, you got to answer the obvious questions. Who's your mama?
My mother is Brenda Foreman. She's a lobbyist for the Ag Department and the Wheat Co-op, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, okay. You don't pretty have to sure. advertise for her. Just tell us who she is.
Hi, I'm Bailey Seabrass. I'm a senior at T.F. Riggs, and I want to major in international business.
Thank you. Thank you for your help. Okay, seeing no other comments, we will move now to our calendar and take up House Bill 1001, an act to revise the membership of the Executive Board and of the Legislative Research Council. House Bill 1001 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Mr. Chair, this came up at the executive committee of the legislature during the summer, and the presiding officer or the chair of the executive committee rotates, and the first with the 2-year terms, in the first year of that term, the Speaker of the House is the chair of the committee. And oftentimes has never served on that committee. And so the thought is, let's have the pro tem go to the executive committee prior to becoming the speaker, in the likely event he's elected or he or she's elected speaker, they'd be familiar with the committee when they assume the chairmanship.
Further proponents. Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there opponents? Seeing no opponent testimony, discussion, questions from the committee? Seeing no questions, we will close the questions and open to comments, discussion, action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mickelson.
I'll move do pass.
Second. Motion by Representative Mickelson, do pass, seconded by Representative DeSanto. Comments on that do pass motion? Thank you. Any other comments?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lateral.
Just a brief comment. If you read the bill, it says that they will be an ex officio member if they're not already a voting member. And so, although the pro tem would be able to serve as an ex officio, there's always the option for them to run as a full voting member if they want to be more involved. So I imagine that we will see that from time to time as well.
Okay. Further comments? See no further comments. The motion then is due pass. House Bill 1001. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Bartling, excused. Representative Beal.
Aye.
DeSanto.
Aye.
Haugard.
Aye.
Holly.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Lateral.
Aye.
Lust.
Aye.
Mickelson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rosen, excused. Quam, excused. Roden.
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 1001 goes to the floor. Do pass. Any other action on it?
Consent. I'll move consent.
Okay.
Chair, I'll move consent.
Motion consent by Mickelson, seconded by Holly. Comments on that motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. House Bill 1001 goes to the floor. Do pass on consent. That takes us to House Bill 1003, an act to revise certain provisions concerning the content of campaign finance disclosure reports and to declare an emergency. House Bill 1003 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Mr. Chairman, Craig Kennedy, Senator from District 18, I'm appearing this morning on behalf of Representative Bartling and Senator Youngberg, both of whom were unable to attend this morning. House Bill 1003 is a very simple correction to an oversight that occurred last year when the campaign finance rules were rewritten, I believe by Senate Bill 54. The Secretary of State contacted the Government Accountability Task Force this summer and said that when that bill was passed, the rules regarding campaign finance disclosures was not corrected to require a report of any contributions from entities. Entities, as you'll recall, are now permitted to make political contributions. So all House Bill 1003 does is require that any contribution from an entity received after July 1st of 2017 will have to be itemized on the campaign finance disclosure report. And the reason for the emergency clause is that the Secretary of State believed that this should be in effect immediately to deal with any contributions received for campaigns this year. So that's the simple reason for the change. The only change, as you'll see, is on page 2, line 16 of the bill. Otherwise, it's just existing law. And I will stand by for any questions anyone has. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Any other proponent testimony? Seeing none, are there opponents? Any opponents? Seeing no opponents, we'll waive rebuttal and go to questions from the committee. Representative Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a question, real quick question for Senator Kennedy. Senator Kennedy, in various parts of the code, certainly Chapter 47 and others, the word person is used to be all-encompassing of not only individuals, but incorporated and unincorporated entities. Is the use of the word entity here consistent in this chapter, or would person as a term to collect all types of individuals and entities be more appropriate?
Okay. Mr. Chairman? Representative Lust, the reason we used this term is because that term was specifically used when the campaign finance rules were rewritten to permit entities to make contributions in Senate Bill 54. An entity is specifically defined in that rule, so what we're trying to do is just match the two up.
Further questions? Seeing no further questions, we will close the committee questions and open for comments, discussion, action. House Bill 1003.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mickelson.
I'll move do pass.
Motion do pass by Representative Mickelson. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Peterson. Comments on the motion? Any comments? Seeing no comments, the motion then is do pass. House Bill 1003. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Bartling excused. Representative Beal.
Aye.
DeSanto.
Aye.
Haugard.
Aye.
Holly.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Latterell.
Aye.
Lust.
Aye.
Mickelson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rosen excused. Quam excused. Roden.
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 1003 goes to the floor. Do pass. A consent motion is out of order on a bill that requires a two-thirds vote. Any emergency clause or so. Thanks for playing, though. Move now to House Bill 1004, an act to revise certain provisions regarding petition forms for initiated measures and initiated amendments to the Constitution. House Bill 1004 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Tim Reed, District 7 representative, and I am here on behalf of the Initiative and Referendum Task Force that we had over the interim. House Bill 1004 makes just one change, and the change, which is the same, is on page 1, line 13, page 2, line 24, page 3, line 1, and page 4, line 9 is all the same changes. The rest of the changes were just made as cleanup language. So the effect of this measure is to ensure that the Board of Elections has the ability to state what the petition, and this would be for any initiative measure or constitutional amendment or referendum that's being proposed to the public, that petition, they would be able to say what the size of the petition is and the font size that would be on that petition. The Board of Elections felt that they already had the right to do that, but we just wanted to make sure that it was actually stated in our statutes. And this comes from the task force with unanimous support. And that's it. I will stand for questions.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Reynold Nesseva, from State Senator from District 15. And I was also a member of the Summer Task Force on Initiated Measures with Representative Reed and Representative Peterson. I would just reiterate support for this measure. It did come out of our committee unanimously. And we were meeting in this summer. One of the petitions that came in front of us that ended up not getting on the ballot, we referred to it as the beach towel ballot because it was enormous. Because the way the state rule is at the moment is that a petition, all of the language has to be on a single form. And what we wanted was to allow the Board of Elections to be able to regulate that. And as Representative Reed said, they likely already have that power, but we simply wanted to spell it out in statute, and there was unanimous support again from our committee to be able to do that. So thank you. I'd stand ready for questions as well.
Thank you. Further proponents? Seeing no other proponents, are there opponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Rebecca Turk. I work for Dakota Rural Action as their registered lobbyist. Our members have some concerns about the language here, specifically, as Senator Nesseva mentioned, the concerns about the size of the petition, but also recognition that all of the language needs to be on one piece of paper, at least as it is right now. The problem that we see, or the potential problem that we see with this change, is that it could potentially limit the size or scope of initiated measures, initiated constitutional amendments, because of the fact that the size and the font could be limited. So I will stand by for questions, but we wanted to register those concerns. So thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents? Any other opponents? Seeing no further opponents, we'll allow a brief rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to reiterate that this is already being done by the Board of Elections. They felt that that was within their purview. We're just putting it into statute. And there are some bills that came through the same task force that does deal with whether or not the actual bill has to be, or the measure has to be on the full petition. And so that will be dealt with at another time. Thank you.
Okay, that will, we will open to questions from the committee. Any questions? Comments? Discussion? Action?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mickelson.
I'll move due pass.
Second.
Motion due pass by Senator Representative Mickelson, seconded by Representative Haugard. Comments on the motion? Any comments? Seeing none, the motion then is due pass. House Bill 1004. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Show me in the red book where it says that.
Representative Bartling excused. Representative Beal.
Aye.
DeSanto.
Aye.
Haugard.
Aye.
Holly.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Latterell.
Aye.
Lust.
Aye.
Mickelson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rosem excused. Quam excused. Roden.
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 1004 goes to the floor. Do pass. We will take up now House Bill 1005, an act to revise certain requirements for recitation regarding the effects of a vote on certain ballot measures. House Bill 1005 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Kent Peterson, State Representative, District 19. I had the privilege of serving on the Initiative and Referendum Task Force this summer. I was a mid-season addition when Representative Hager resigned, and I was appointed to take his spot. House Bill 1005 has to do with the recitations on ballot, certain ballot measures. And the committee spent a lot of time this summer trying to look at all the different processes and things that we do and find ways for clarification. And I believe this one is one that is something that is a very positive step in the right direction. Currently, the Attorney General is charged with writing a clear and simple recitation of the effect of a ballot measure. With long, complex, and often convoluted ballot measures, a clear and simple statement is impossible. He's forced to try to summarize measures with dozens of sections, often tens of pages, in about 5 words. It leads to recitations that are unclear at best and misleading at worst. House Bill 1005 changes the recitations for constitutional amendments initiated measures and referred laws to make them more straightforward. Section 1 just is some reference cleanup. Section 2 deals with recitations for referred constitutional amendments and referred laws. Section 3 is reference cleanup. Section 4 is recitations for the initiated constitutional amendments and initiated measures. And Section 5 is the effective date. I also have distributed an amendment, I guess, if I could speak to that as well, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, we've received the amendment. It's 1005-WB. I'd accept a motion to move that amendment this time. Second. Motion by Heineman and second by Lateral, 1005-WB. You may speak to the bill and the amendment.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The amendment, constitutional amendments, regardless of topic, will read, vote yes to adopt the amendment, vote no to leave the Constitution as it is. Initiated measures, regardless of topic, will read, vote yes to adopt the initiated measure, vote no to leave South Dakota law as it is. Referred laws is where probably more of the change has come. And my amendment is for page 2, line 10, strike the word reject and add the word repeal. So it would read, vote yes to repeal the act of the legislature and vote no to allow the act of the legislature to become law. The committee thought this summer that this was oftentimes a very confusing part of our ballot and agreed that this was a way to make it more clear. And so I would just ask for your consideration on this, and we'll stand by for any questions.
Further proponents. Any other proponents? Seeing none, we will move to opponents. Is there any opponent testimony?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Rebecca Turk, registered lobbyist for Dakota Rural Action. Again, we'd like to register some concerns with the language here. Some of our members felt that the way that the recitation reads for referred laws basically says that we are that people are voting yes to say no and no to say yes. And so we do have some concerns about that language, we're not sure that the amendment takes care of that issue. We do certainly support the idea of simplifying the ballot recitation overall, but we think that this could lead to some confusion at the ballot box. So I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents? Any other opponents? Seeing none, I would ask for a brief rebuttal if you feel compelled.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kent Peterson, District 19. I think, as I said previously, this was always the most confusing part for me. And when I've talked with constituents on the referred law portion of our ballot, and I think it really can't get more clear than this when it says vote yes to repeal the act of the legislature, vote no to allow the act of the legislature to become law. Pretty straightforward. So, thank you.
Senator Boland, I know that you didn't get here in time before I, but if there are comments you'd like to make briefly on this, we'd allow that. House Bill 1005. We'll call this the rebuttal. Forget what you heard from him.
Okay.
Here's a rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, State Senator Jim Boland. I represent District 16, which is all of Union County and the southern rural portion of Lincoln County. Just coming in from Transportation Committee, I think this is their – the bill is a very, very good bill. It brings about, consistency as far as I think it brings neutrality as far as the language is concerned, especially if you look at it, there's really three aspects that you when you go to vote you vote on these things. First of all, just as far as the initiated measures are concerned, your laws, what this does is just states, and I don't have that in front of me right now, it states vote yes, you will make this particular change, vote no, you will keep the laws as they are. For the constitutional amendments, voting yes, it will change the Constitution, and no, it will maintain the Constitution as is. When you get to the referral part, which I think is probably what you were discussing here for, based on what I just heard from the good representative from Salem, in reality, and again, this was passed unanimously by the committee. I think I would agree with Representative Peterson. In reality, you're voting pretty much actually on the referral of the measure itself. Should the referral be sustained, or should the act of the legislature be sustained? That's really what the question is here. And I know there's some details about that, but I would urge you to move this forward, and that we'd have more discussion on it, especially on the floor of your chamber and in the Senate as well. I'll just leave it at that, and I'll just stay here if there's any other questions you might have. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Representative Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Boland, I have just a question for you on Section 5. I see the effective date is July 1st of 2019. Why would we not want that to go into effect in 2018?
I think the... I'm trying to think the reason that was put in there, so there wouldn't initially the committee said there wouldn't be any need for this change before for the next election. I believe that was the logic of the committee at that time. I don't know. Has there been action to change that particular date?
We're considering it.
You're considering it at the present time. So that I'll just leave that up to the judgment of the committee, and I don't think that's a I don't see that's a crucial component of this. At least my initial reaction is.
Further questions.
But I believe that. But going back to the work of the task force, the idea behind it putting it at 2019 so was that it would have no impact on the current election. Now, if in the wisdom of the committee you think that it should be advanced to 18, that's up to your judgment. But the decision of the committee was to put it at 2019 so that there would be no impact on the current election. That's the logic behind it.
Further questions. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
We will move then to comments, discussion, action. And I would add, we have a motion, pending motion, to amend 1005WB. Further comments on that motion to amend? Seeing none, all those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. 1005 is so amended. Further comments, discussion, action?
Mr. Chair, I've got a voice amendment.
Representative Peterson, state your...
Section 5, line 8, I'd like to strike 2019 and add 2018.
Second.
Motion to amend by Peterson, seconded by Lateral. Comments on that motion?
Yeah.
Representative Peterson.
You know, I think as we're... I mean, we were tasked last summer with trying to make things better and more clear, and why not have that take effect right away?
Okay. So... To restate the motion, on page 4, line 8, you would strike 2019 and insert 2018. Right?
Or you could just take that whole sentence out.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good, better way to do it, Dave. I think so. Strike the sentence.
Strike section 5?
Yeah. Yeah.
Substitute.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, if I'd offer a substitute amendment and just strike section 5.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Lateral. Substitute motion to amend by striking section 5. Further comments on that motion to amend? Representative Lust.
I asked Senator Bowen the question. Well, if we think it's a good idea, it's going to be a good idea in 2018 as well as 2019. There's no reason to defer the concept.
Further comments? Representative Hawley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess in my mind, I'm just questioning if, you know, there are already passed petitions and they're being okayed by the Secretary of State, approved now, what impact that has on that would be my, does it, in my mind, I'm questioning, is there an impact on that?
Well, yep. I think this is a good way to find out.
Yeah, I guess. Well,
I don't say that in jest. I say, yeah. You know, we're in the first week of session, in the first committee hearing, so there'd be more than ample time to.
I guess at this time I wouldn't support it, based on that and off of the committee's recommendation. They had a much larger discussion this summer on it, so I probably wouldn't support the amendment.
Okay. Further comments, discussion on the motion to substitute motion to amend. Seeing none, all in favor of that motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Nay.
Motion carries. 1005 is further amended. Further action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mickelson.
I'll move do pass as amended.
Motion do pass as amended, seconded by Representative Haugard. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, the motion then is do pass as amended House Bill 1005. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Bartling excused. Beal.
Aye.
DeSanto.
Aye.
Haugard.
Aye.
Hawley. Heineman.
Aye.
Lateral.
Aye.
Lust.
Aye.
Mickelson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rosen excused. Quam excused. Roden.
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 1005 goes to the floor. Do pass as amended. Takes us to House Bill 1006, an act to revise the extent of comments required by the Director of the Legislative Research Council regarding certain ballot measures and the period of time in which those comments are to be made. House Bill 1006 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Again, Kent Peterson, State Representative, District 19. Representative Soli is the prime sponsor of this bill, but she's unable to be here, so I was also on the committee in support of this idea and am here in her stead. So this is an act to revise the time for comments by the director for initiated measures. And a couple changes we made. On line 13 and 14 there, you'll see we took out 15, from 15 calendar days to 15 work days, okay, just to define that a little bit more, and then added a section or a piece there on page 2, line 3, regarding the comments of the director, include assistance regarding the substantive content of the initiated measure or initiated amendment in order to minimize any conflict with existing law and to ensure the measures or amendments effective administration. Now, as we know, they're not required to comply with anything the director may offer or any comments, but they will receive those. And then the final section, we spent quite a bit of time talking about the different timing of things and added this section that says if an amendment or initiated measure is received from December 1st and on, they're not required to give comment until 15 days post-session, 15 days after adjournment. They can, but they're not required to. So if the director is able to, obviously they can still do that, but just setting a time parameter on that, and that is how that section has been added to. And we had a very good discussion on this, and it came out, if it was unanimous or very close to unanimous out of our task force this summer. So I will stand by for questions. Ask for your consideration. Thank you.
Further proponents?
Ronald Nesova, State Senator from District 15. I would echo my Representatives Peterson's support for this. I really see this as a compromise. I'm an economist in my daily living. We are a citizen legislature. We rely on the LRC to assist us in the drafting of bills, not only in style and form, but in advice and where it should go in statute. And I think it's an important extension of that right to the people of South Dakota to be able to have not just style and form, but also to be able to have substantive advice. Like all of you, I share concern that sometimes things end up on the ballot that aren't as well written or as well thought out as they could be. And the hope is that by being able to have that initial conversation and engage in substantive conversation and advice with the director, that the things that end up on the ballot will be better done. Now, I'm not enthusiastic about Section 2. Right, about the people not having access to the LRC, but I see this really as a compromise, and it was really a compromise that came from Director Jason Hancock. That at one level, what he's saying is that the citizens, the people of South Dakota, can have greater access and greater advice, but we're pretty busy. We already have the smallest LRC staff in the country, and they're pretty busy between December 1st and the end of the session. And so we did spend a lot of time talking about timelines as well, and we do have additional legislation proposed that would clarify that groups, ballot committees could start 30 months ahead of time in their conversations with the LRC and try and encourage groups to really begin that process early on to get it done even before the legislation, before the legislative session begins. So I would urge you to support what I see as compromise legislation that was sponsored by the LRC. And if I was on the committee, I might ask Director Hancock to come and say a word or two, but I'm not on your committee. Thank you.
Further proponents?
Thank you, committee members, Mr. Chairman, committee members. I would really agree with Senator Nesba. Compromise legislation worked out with the task force, wide variety of people coming from the LRC designed to try to improve the process. So I'd encourage your support. Thank you.
Further proponents? Any other proponents? Seeing none, we'll open to opponents. Any
Morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mitch Richter. I'm a registered lobbyist for Represent South Dakota. Our opposition, I guess, is more just the total timeline that this could entail. If you take December 1st and then you go 15 days after signee die, you're looking at basically 4.5 months. So then you take the 15 work days, we get our suggested changes back from the LRC, we take those into consideration. Maybe there's a substantive rewrite of some type, or we want to submit it again to the LRC, so it's possibly a week, 10 days that we have it, then we submit it back to the LRC. They can have it for another 15 work days. I could easily see this taking a process where it gets to 6 months, where the LRC has the initiated measure or the constitutional amendment for a period of 6 months if you got it in December 1st, December 2nd. It seems like it's an awfully long time for the LRC to do that. We don't have any problem, and Mr. Hancock testified in committee about the workload during the legislative session. So certainly if you want to take out January, February, March, that's understandable. But to throw December in there, I think makes it problematic for people that want to use this process. So we'd urge you to amend it to take out December. Otherwise, we'd support the bill, but I think if you're looking at a long time, it could easily extend to 6 months. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Rebecca Turk, registered lobbyist for Dakota Rural Action. We do support the first section of this bill. However, we believe the second section should be struck. We did hear testimony in the summer task force that in many cases substantive comments are already being provided. We also heard testimony that there's actually fairly few ballot initiatives that come to the LRC during the legislative session, and it does not present an undue workload. Certainly, we appreciate hearing from the LRC on this, if that's possible, and if the chair determines that's necessary. But we feel that this is really taking away from the people's process, and we believe that it is possible to be able to do both. So we'd recommend striking the second section and appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents? Any other opponents? Seeing none, I will grant a brief rebuttal from Senator Nesba.
Thank you. Reynold Nesba from District 15. I agree with both of the opponents in terms of their concerns about the LRC. What convinced me over the summer was, again, hearing from Director Hancock that they would still continue to try to do their best, but what they wanted was not to be in violation of statute of having that 15-day binding requirement on them. So my understanding is that Director Hancock, the LRC staff, would still try to do their best. They just wouldn't be held liable by statute during that period. So thank you.
With that, we will open to committee questions. Questions from the committee.
I just had one question. I do have a question.
Representative Mickelson.
Mr. Chair, it's a small question. And Senator Nesba, I thought you said in your introductory remarks that LRC advocated for this bill. Maybe you misspoke. I was just...
As part of the, again, Reynold Nesba from District 15, maybe advocate. I don't want to speak for the director
particularly when he's in the room and I can see him over there, and it would be awkward. So I don't want to put words into his mouth. But he was part of our conversation over the summer. And this was his concern, I think, and again, perhaps you should ask him, is that depending on who a ballot committee representative talked to, just trying to create some consistency and making it clear that some LRC staff were providing more substantive comments than some other ones were. And this just made it clear, clear for the LRC that they were able to do that, to move beyond style and form and be able to actually ask, be able to give substantive comments to the committee, to the groups coming before them, the ballot committees coming in front of them.
Further questions? Any other questions? Seeing none, we will move to committee comments, discussion, action. House Bill 1006.
I'd like to make a comment on it, Mr. Chair.
Representative Mickelson.
I'd just say I appreciate the spirit of the elected representatives from both parties making an agreement to compromise. And maybe there's parts of each side that don't like it. But that's the nature of any healthy process, is compromise. I just point out the groups that testified in opposition to that only liked what they wanted, and they weren't willing to make a compromise. Thank you.
Further comments, discussion, action? Representative Hawley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, I would... the words that I see this bill as a compromise bill is stated several times. There is issues with Section 2 that people have concerns with, but on the LRC, I understand the issues we got with our staff and with the legislative session and things. So I would support the bill as it stands right now.
Thank you. Further action? Representative Lust.
To be amended.
I move to pass.
Motion do pass by Representative Less. Is there a second? Second by Representative Peterson. Comments on the motion? Any further comments? Motion then do pass on House Bill 1006. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Bartling excused. Beal?
Aye.
DeSanto?
Aye.
Haugard?
Aye.
Hawley?
Aye.
Heineman?
Aye.
Latterell?
Aye.
Lust?
Aye.
Mickelson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rosen excused. Quam excused. Roden?
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 1006 goes to the floor. Do pass. And that is the last of the bills on today's calendar. I believe that we had a... Typically, we don't have a state affairs meeting this early in a session, but we had bills on our docket, and it's kind of looking like we'll have a bigger bill load than normal. Remains to be seen how many of those land in state affairs, but we can expect some longer meetings in the future. So if there are any announcements for the committee?
I'll move that you need a motion.
Motion to adjourn by Mickelson, seconded by Haugard. Comments on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Meeting adjourned.